Hello, this is Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. This is our 262nd podcast, and I really do appreciate you listening, and I hope you're getting something useful out of the podcast. And you know that it's a challenge sometimes to find podcasts to listen to that are useful and helpful. So I do appreciate you listening, and I hope you are getting what you want out of the podcast. If you have any ideas for topics or things you want to see discussed in the podcast, don't hesitate to reach out. I would love to make sure that I'm talking about things that you're actually interested in. So I would appreciate that. Any feedback you have would be great. You can reach me at daniel@danieljgregory.com. One of the things that I have found interesting about working with photographers, and particularly in teaching things around computers and photography, is that there's a huge fear of making a simple mistake, whether it's clicking on something in Photoshop or Lightroom that you don't know, or maybe trying out a setting on the camera that you haven't used before, or you're trying something you've never done before. And so there's this notion that things should be right the first time. And there's this idea or this fear that a simple mistake is kind of be the end of our photography. And one of the things I find interesting about that is that's a reoccurring theme I see with people over and over and over again. And I've seen it in my own work as well. I want to make sure I put my best foot forward and try to get the best photographs possible. And as I deal with these mistakes and as I help people process their own mistakes that really actually turn out to be sometimes really valuable learning tools, we realize that things, you know, the more they change, the more they stay the same. We keep fearing a mistake, we make a mistake, we learn from it, and we move forward. I find it interesting because adults who are struggling with trying to get their, you know, best photo foot forward seem to make the same kind of common mistakes over and over again. They seem to want to make sure that they try to make the best photographs, but they aren't sure about the best photographs. And so they're doomed to sort of repeat this kind of infinite circle loop of struggle over what could be possible with a photograph. And I wanted to talk a little bit today about some of those kind of more common things I see with people that I'm helping learn their photography or learn how to process and edit their photographs, and maybe some ideas for how to overcome that, because I think some of them are pretty simple. I've only got two or three things we're going to talk about, and I'm amazed at how paralyzing they are for some people. And at the same time, I think once we get past them, we find out that there's a beauty and an elegance to not fearing the simple mistake, but in many ways embracing it. One of the first areas is selecting the photograph to actually be editing or to print or to work on. And people go out, and today, because of digital, I think people do come back with more photographs than they potentially would have with film. And so selecting which photograph out of the 10 to thousands that you've potentially taken can be a struggle for people. And I think there's two basic points I wanted to make about that selection of the photograph to work on. The first is, if you're going to be actually selecting a photograph to edit, there's no mistake in that. Even if it's not the best photograph, learning how to edit a photograph so that the photograph has the best representation of your experience, thoughts, feelings, emotions that you want to put into the photograph, even if it's not a great photograph, is such an amazing learning tool. Because you're having to learn all of those skills that you would then apply into a photograph later that maybe is a better photograph, maybe is a better selection for you to be working on. But you can't dismiss the fact that a lot of photography is practice. It's picking up the camera and practicing getting sharp focus. It's picking up the camera and practicing settings. It's opening Photoshop, opening Lightroom, and making sure you understand how all those tools work. How do you mask? What is the right mask? What's the right way to change the color of something? Or if you're working in the analog darkroom, all the practice for dodging and burning and getting the right dodge and burn tools and making sure that all of those skills are practiced so that when you actually do need to somehow make a complex dodge and burn, you would know how to do that. So no matter where we are in our photography, we always have the opportunity to be refining and honing the skills we would need when we actually get what is the kind of photograph we'd really want to be working on. And that leads me to the second point of that editing and selecting. I think the simple mistake of we don't actually know sometimes what makes a quality photograph. When I'm working with people when they're getting started in their photography, a lot of the work is helping them identify what makes a photograph interesting, what makes a photograph good, what makes a photograph not look like every other photograph. Because our inclination is to repeat the things that we've seen that we like, but those aren't necessarily our photographs. So part of the challenge is identifying really what is quality within a photograph to me. Not to anybody else, but to me. And I think we have to somehow get that out of an abstract realm and get that into something concrete. So it's not just enough to say, well, I like photographs of wildlife, or I like landscapes, or I don't like landscapes. or I don't like pictures of puppies, or whatever it is, we need to make sure that we get something more concrete that defines what makes a good photograph. And there are certain things and there are certain structures and applications of what we know about composition, color, form, light, gesture, all those things that come together to make a photograph more interesting. And there are things that prove to be significant distractions in photographs. And we'll let those things pass sometimes. We'll bypass some of those elements in favor of a story or a narrative about a photograph that really shouldn't be there. So I think one of the things we can do is recognize that all the things we edit, all the things we work on are good, and that part of our job is to learn what makes a quality photograph. What makes a photograph good? What is it about composition that works? What is it about color that works? How does color, composition, form, shape, gesture, how do all those things pull together to actually make an interesting photograph? And we learn that by looking at photographs and spending the time to document and write down what that is. Because if it just stays up in our head, it becomes this abstract notion, and we struggle when it comes time to sit down in front of our own photographs of pulling out those details. But if you think about having a list in front of you that you looked at dozens of other photographs, whether they're on Instagram or they're in books or they're in a folio you have, and you write down what are the things that make a good photograph and what are the things that make a bad photograph, and you do it from technical, from composition, from emotion, from whatever it is, and then you had that list when you sat down in front of your own photographs, you could be much more objective in getting the analysis done of your own work to make for a more interesting selection that you could then apply those skills you got during your practice. I think a second area is around equipment and how photographers get caught up in the fear of missing out on some great new piece of technology, some great new idea, some great new thing that we need to have, a new lens. And it's easy because we want to believe that somewhere is something out there to make us a better photographer. There is nothing in a camera that's going to make you a better photographer today than you were yesterday, other than practicing shooting more. You may have a specific problem you're trying to solve, and I've mentioned this on a number of different podcasts. You know, if you need high ISO because of the type of thing you photograph, a new camera with a better high ISO performance will make a difference in your photography. It will not solve the fundamental foundational issues that exist within your photography. It also doesn't mean that if somebody grabs your camera, that they're not going to be able to make amazing photographs. So the notion of equipment and the notion of needing new equipment is oftentimes, I think, an area that we struggle because we end up making the mistake of buying equipment to solve a problem we don't have. At the same time, I think we struggle with the idea that if we have equipment and if we struggle to get the right equipment, that there is some reward we're going to get. There's some higher level of satisfaction that comes from making photographs on good equipment. And nothing could be farther from the truth. The satisfaction of looking at a great photograph comes from looking at a great photograph. And one of the interesting things that you should observe when you're showing your photographs to other people, if you are showing them to photographers, they will ask you what camera it's on, what f-stop, what lens, what manufacturer, have you considered switching to Fuji from Sony or vice versa? But if you show that to a non-photographer, they will never ask you that question. They will never ask you about the equipment that makes the photograph, because in many ways, they understand that the equipment does not define the photograph, but it is something that photographers get stuck upon. And so that fear of not having the right camera, not having the right equipment is a struggle. And I think where that struggle comes from is who we associate and get our feedback from. And so stop asking photographers for feedback about photographs. Might make a difference in your approach to your camera equipment. It might also make a difference in your approach to your camera equipment when you really accept the fact that there is nothing that's going to change in you fundamentally tomorrow with the changing of a camera and with the changing of a brand. The other thing is really when most people buy a camera and a camera lens and a camera body system, they don't change. People who were on Nikon 20 years ago are on Nikon today. People who started with Canon are on Canon today. And occasionally you'll read about people who switch from Fuji to whatever. But for the most part, those of us who buy, we lock in because we just don't have a massive amount of income to continually buy lenses and buy bodies. So we don't make that unending switch. So to even spend time trying to think about that is somewhat counterproductive. That's time you could be spent actually shooting and editing rather than focusing on new equipment. The last area that I wanted to talk about is something that I call the balance of ideas. And I don't really know if that's actually even a phrase that's used anywhere, but it's what I like to think of it as my own approach to my photography. And it's probably one of the simplest mistakes that I feel like I make over and over again, and nothing ever comes of it. But that photography and looking at images and creating images is about a balance between two things: positive and negative space, in focus and out of focus, opposing colors, tones. There's always a balance that has to happen in photography for images to work. And sometimes we skew that balance to create a certain visual response we want in an image. And other times we try to keep things harmonious. But there's always this kind of give and take as we can create photographs, and when we look at photographs, when we see photographs. And at the same time, there's this ideas that we get, and there's the things we think we want to photograph. And it's those ideas where I talk about the balance of ideas, that we have a lot of things we want to photograph, a lot of things we think about photographing, a lot of things that just kind of sit up in our head and we think about photographing. And oftentimes we don't end up photographing those things. They just stay these kind of cool ideas. And, oh, if I had time, or if I had the inclination just to get out there and do it. And you hear people talk about these amazing photographs they could make, or these amazing photographs that they want to try, but they never do. And I'm not talking about the ones that involve you going overseas or spending a lot of money, but even people just talking about very simple things like, oh, I'd love to do a still life of flowers, or I want to make some portraits of my best friends and the hobbies they have. Whatever it is, it's these really simple things to photograph. And the fear is that if we make those photographs, they won't meet with our expectation, that the idea we have is so much better than the actual photographs we would create. And I think that's the mistake we make. Creating photographs and making those photographs is a part of the journey and the process. It's probably one of the most important things we can do, is to see what the experience is like photographing. There's no magic that's lost when we see a photograph. Unlike sometimes learning how a magic trick works, where we're no longer wowed by the illusion, when we make photographs, we learn from the planning, we learn from the execution of the photograph, we learn from the scene of the photograph. So there's an opportunity to learn over and over again. And so to think that things aren't going to be different, and there's a reason not to try something because who knows what will happen, or maybe it doesn't turn out like we expect, I think is one of the biggest mistakes photographers make. We have to push ourselves to go forward and create exciting photographs when we think about creating those exciting photographs. There's been so many amazing photographs that have been lost to history that have never been taken, not because the person didn't have a camera with them, but because they were afraid that they would make photographs that didn't match what their expectation was. And I would encourage you to try to let that go. And if you have ideas to photograph something, even if it's as simple as just the daffodils are in bloom this spring and I want to photograph daffodils, and even though there's been trillions of photographs of daffodils, to let that go and just to see what the experience is and how that takes you and defines your work, and not worry about the mistake of what the photograph might not be, but rather enjoy the process of creating the photograph. So as you think about your own photography, maybe there are some other things that are simple mistakes you might make over and over again, and you notice that every time you make them, nothing really shifts in your work. For me, like I said, there's this balance of ideas. There's the definition of quality and how we select photographs, the process of learning. There's all these little things where I find myself in my own work, and when I work with others, seeing that same simple mistake being made, or the fear of that mistake holding somebody back from actually creating work. And either way, the end result is the same. We don't get the photographs we want. So hopefully you can let some of that go and find a way to reconnect and figure out the value of what you appreciate in your photography and in the photography of others, and take that step forward to create something amazing. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. I hope you get a chance to do something creative. Don't forget to spend time with family, friends, and loved ones, because there's nothing more important than that. You can also find us on Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, all the places podcasts are found. So if you're switching platforms, don't forget to find us on the new platform of your choosing. Appreciate it. Have a great week, and I'll see you soon.